B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Well, a happy Thursday across the Delaware Valley. Good sports weekend ahead of us. And that's the good. Are you ready for the bad? You guys got to explain this to me. All right. So the Phillies clinging for a playoff spot, right? They own the Mets. For whatever reason, the way the Marlins own the Phillies own the Mets, which is usually how it works in Major League Baseball. So it was great, right? They beat Porcello. They take the first game. Arrieta pitches well. And then you look at it and you go, oh, DeGrom. But you got Wheeler. And you go, all right, well, you need it because you're still fighting for a spot. It's not a lock yet. Even though 8 teams make the freaking playoffs, it's not a lock. And you get to DeGrom early. He's not right. You can see he's not right. And then he leaves the game. And then you build the lead. And you lose that game? I mean, that is a horrific loss. That's it. We talk about these losses to the Orioles and the bullpen and Club 10 and Pigpen and the whole thing. But last night, when you have DeGrom beat and you're fighting for a playoff spot, you can't lose. You can't lose. And then once again, and we'll hear from the Pigpen hoedown a little bit later on, once again, the bullpen fails. How? And you got to answer me this. How is Hector still the closer? How's that guy still the closer? And I keep going back to one man. And I know that I rail on this guy all the time. And I'm sure he's a likable fella. And sometimes I feel guilty because it's not my personality. But what has Matt Klentak done other than fail? Other than not, how do you not address this? It's bad enough he had to go get 17 arms to make the damn thing credible during the season. But you still have the same back end. Although you're using Workman as a co-closer, and that was a disaster. And you still got Hector trotting out there. Natty leg, huh? I mean, are you kidding me? Scarface reference, Tunis. It's the same thing. And so I start to think about this because I was reminded of it several times yesterday about the Roaring Twenties and me and my big mouth. Me and my big mouth talking about the Roaring Twenties. And the only thing roaring is my bowels, all right? That's the only thing roaring of the state of these four teams. Now, I'll exclude the Flyers because the Flyers have legitimate hope. They are clearly unto themselves. The question marks remain resounding with the other crew, the other three. But we expected, and I can't believe we're actually going to talk about this, but we have to. I had a buddy of mine last night go, you know, one of these flippant texts. Hey, when's the next time Philadelphia team wins a championship? And then he goes, I know what's going to happen. They're going to come back. The Arena Football League's going to come back, and the Soul are going to win with four teams. And, it's par for the course, right? This is what we are looking at. This is the future of the decade that we thought would challenge the 80s for most championships. Tunis and I, and I'm embarrassed to say so, actually had a show. And I'm going to remind him of it. We actually had a show where we were trying to project the number of championships in the 20s. The Sixers get 3, Flyers get 2, Phillies get 2, whatever. We were just throwing numbers out there, crooked numbers out there, as Charlie would say. And the only thing crooked is how these GMs and how these coaches are approaching this thing. That's the only thing crooked. Because how in the world can we look at titles when it's so tumultuous right now? Good morning, Tunis.
Yeah, I remember that show.
You remember it?
Yeah, we talked about the amount of championship appearances that we would see.
Well, let's see. The Sixers in the 80s, they went to the finals in 80, 82, 83. The Flyers went to the finals in 80 and 85 and 87.
The Phillies still in 80, 83.
In 80 and blah, 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 blah. And on it went.
Yeah, and we talked about how there would be more appearances. I believe the number came to 9 appearances. And I said, yeah, of course. And here we are now, year 1, disappointment. All 4 teams. Well, I mean, it's been 1 game for the Eagles. But the 3 teams that have, 2 teams that have completed their season.
Right.
And now this, with the Phillies.
Right. And the only team that gives you a semblance of hope right now, the Flyers.
Yes. Unless the Phillies move on from this current GM.
You hope that the Sixers can get a right new coach and resuscitate what's going on. But the problem still lies in the 2 stars, or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
The 2 centerpieces of the franchise right now are flawed. So it doesn't matter what you put around them. It doesn't matter who's coaching them. Until those flaws get ironed out, they remain a question. The Phillies, I don't know where they're going. I mean, truthfully. I mean, we take it for granted to go on Middleton, and we like Middleton a lot. But what's the farm system?
Right.
I mean, how much talent are you going to buy? I know he's got all the money in the world, but, you know, sooner or later, how much talent are you going to buy?
Yeah, and that's the problem. It always comes down to money because they can't hit on anyone. They can't hit on anyone. I mean, Mickey Moniak finally came up, but am I really excited about Mickey Moniak?
Oh, he stinks. Come on, Mickey Moniak. Stop. Stop with the Moniaks. Can't play. Another
just,
one.
You know, it's...
Another missed draft pick. You would talk about the Eagles draft picks. How about the Phillies draft picks? The Phillies draft picks are embarrassing what the Phillies have done. Lest we forget Don Cornelius. I mean, are you kidding me with the Phillies draft picks? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's every year you go, oh my God, I can't believe they... I mean, Mickey Moniak was first overall. First overall pick.
No, I know.
And I get it.
No.
Baseball, it's not a lock. But come on, when you got the first overall pick in a rebuilding year, rebuilding era, come on, man, you got to hit on at least one. And they didn't. I mean, Adam Haseley. What is Adam Haseley? What is he?
Because seriously, that
he's got to make that play last night.
He stinks.
He's got to make that play. I know it's easy to rip the bullpen and they deserve it, but he's got to make that play.
He stinks.
And he's supposed to be a better outfielder than hitter. You got to make that play.
Dude, I said all along that Paisley stinks. All right? He stinks. Club Tyrone, all of it. Oh, hey, you were one of them too.
No, Egan was. Egan was a big Haseley guy. Still is.
Stinks.
I think he's
an outfielder who's got no pop.
Yeah, I think he's an outfielder that can play every day for you in the eighth hole. But is that what you want?
Again.
No.
You don't play every day for him. You can play every day for him. What does it matter? If the guy's an outfielder hitting eighth that does no serves no purpose.
Right, which is why I wanted to move on from some of these guys to get Starling Marte before the deadline, because he's a guy that plays everyday center field with pop, and they didn't want to do that. Last year, they didn't want to go after guys who were available at the deadline because we want to go with this Roman Quinn, Adam Haseley thing.
I mean, how long are you going to sit with it with Roman Quinn?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know.
These guys, it's the same guys over and over and over and over and over again.
Like this general manager, his time's done. It has to be. I mean, how many times did we hear before the season started? I heard all the baseball analysts. Well, the bullpen's bad, but bullpens are weird. Every once in a while, they can have one of those years where everything clicks, right? We always hear that with bullpens. This bullpen has been historically bad. And because it's such a disaster, the only reason why you had hope was because sometimes bullpens could be weird, right? I heard that from five different analysts going into the season. And you know what? You were all wrong. And that means Matt Klentak was wrong. And he could make all these moves that he wants, but it comes back to what he always does. He dumpster dives.
He's a horrible general manager. Horrible. And the only thing worse than Klentak as your general manager is having the owner think he's Theo Epstein. I mean, it's amazing how many times they talk about how brilliant he is. He's done nothing. He's done nothing good. The best thing he did was trade for Realmuto until we realize that the guy he gave up has generational stuff. And as much as I love JT and they need to sign him, and I'm a big JT fan, you always take a true ace over an everyday catcher. So he flubbed that. It's amazing. How bad this guy, what is this year again? He's entering his fifth offseason?
Yes.
What is it?
It'll be his fifth offseason.
Right.
Well, he'd had five offseasons, sorry, because he got hired before the offseason of 2016. So he's had five offseasons. This is his fourth full season as GM.
Right. Fourth full season. And we're sitting here and they're 500.
Yes.
They're 500. That's a disaster. And by the way, he went and got his owner went and got Bryce Harper. Like, if I tell you in 2016 that you're going to get Bryce Harper.
Right.
Right? You got to think, well, at the very least, I'm a playoff team.
Right.
Like a real, not a bogus playoff team like this one. It's shameful how bad a general manager and how bad a steward he and Andy McPhail are. It's shameful. I'm sorry. He's done nothing good other than spend his owner's money.
Oh, you're right. And now you're at the point where you're looking behind you. The St. Louis Cardinals are a half game out. You're tied with the Giants for the two wild card spots. The St. Louis Cardinals, who had a terrible start to the season, are now right behind you. The Brewers are a game and a half behind you. They could miss the playoffs in an extended format.
I'm glad that you brought this up because I'm at a crossroads with the Phillies. Okay? And here is my dilemma. I'm not one to root against my team. All right? Here's the thing. I make no bones about it. And sometimes, you know, we look at it from an optimistic standpoint because it's really not fun to be miserable and pessimistic every day, right? And it's not in my nature, quite frankly. And so I look at this Phillies team and I'm at a crossroads because, I need your help here. My gut and my spite. Now, I got some spite inside me. And the spite tells me, I hope they lose every game. Right? My spite, and it's ugly spite. The spite is an ugly thing. But the spite inside me that is built up says, root against them. And I can't do that. And I rooted against the Sixers. But we all rooted against the Sixers to get Ben Simmons, right? Like that was, it was the organization rooted against themselves, right? So that was the last time that I rooted against. Now, the Chip Kelly piece, at the end, he was such a raging a-hole that I rooted against him at the end. Because we knew he would be gone. So it's only in extreme circumstances, the best for the franchise, that we root against them. And here's my question. Do we bring out the card yet? Do we play this root against them card? Because the problem is, I'd like to get to be in the playoffs. I really would. I want to see. And they're in it right now. And as bogus as it all is, they're in it. But I do know this. If they miss the playoffs, he's definitely out. Now, it's like momentary glee,
right,
of the playoffs versus what's best for the franchise. And what's best for the franchise is that they lose and Matt Klentak gets fired and there's a new GM here.
Now, I will say this. I'm not ready to play that card yet, and it's only because you're missing some players with injury. Obviously, Realmuto's out. Hoskins is out right now. I'm not saying that they're going to make a run for the World Series. I'm just saying I want to see this team in the playoffs because you have a lot of young guys who have never been in it yet. Experience-wise, I want them to get that experience. But it's not a violation to play that card. I did it with the Sixers, not for Ben Simmons, for Brett Brown. You heard, we had the conversation.
Yeah, I did not do that. I was not.
I was ready to move on from Brett Brown. Yeah. And I said, you know what? If they lose the series, all right.
Right, but I still couldn't. It was 3-0, and I'm going to be real with you. It was 3-0, and I was rooting like hell for him.
I'm sure you were.
All right. Now, you're right. But I look at, I'm at a crossroads with him. And my head tells me it's best for them to collapse and get that Klentak out of this town. Now, I don't want to be one of these. Best. I don't want to be one of these guys lighting torches. But this guy has tortured us for 4 years. He has done nothing. They are in 4 years. They're a 500 team.
Yep.
With very little young hope. I like Bohm. We'll see about Spencer Howard. What else you got?
I mean, Hoskins is still a question mark. He got hot before getting hurt, but is it he gets hot every once in a while and then it's freezing cold the other times?
He
walks a lot.
But that's what he's done.
Yeah.
He's completely destroyed the franchise. I always talk about Matt Rhule, and I call him the great resuscitator, because he resuscitated Temple. He resuscitated Baylor. He will resuscitate the Carolina Panthers. And if he's the great resuscitator, Matt Klentak is an arsonist.
Can Matt Rhule be GM of the Phillies too? Different sports.
I would love it. Matt Klentak is an arsonist. That's what I've realized. And that he has lit this franchise on fire. And we're still raging. So I asked you guys to start the show. Today, it's Big Picture 2020. And what looks to be, in the words of Gabe, our caller Gabe, the boring 20s.
I hope.
I got to ask you guys, is it time to play the card, to break glass and play the card, or I'm mixing my metaphors, break glass and push the I want you to lose button to get rid of Klentak?
You know, now that I think about it, there's only 12 games left.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. You were talking about Hoskins coming back and JT. What's going on?
It's only 12 games left.
So I asked you guys, which way do we go? We're just getting started a Thursday. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. The Gunner, D-Gun, will join us a little bit later on. The football pool, picks, and a whole lot more straight ahead. All right, life comes at us hard these days, man, real hard. That's why I tell you about Xceva vitamin infusion therapy all the time. We go 100 miles an hour. We're stressed out of our minds, exhausted, run down, dehydrated. You get headaches, somebody aches. And, of course, we're working overtime to protect ourselves from getting sick. So I needed a positive way to recharge and refuel. So the analogy I'll use is plug it in your phone. You got to plug in your body. You need the Xceva vitamin infusion therapy. I love it. I'm due because I can feel myself starting to wane. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system. Elevate your mood, energy level, replenish your reserves. Well, this is what it is. You go into an infusion suite. I go to one right here on Township Line. It's great. Hey, you sit in, you 45 minutes, you get the IV of goodies, vitamins, nutrients, right? And you can choose. Do you want energy, immune? The girls love it for beauty. Check it out. You relax in the massage chair, disappear from life for 45 minutes, and recharge your body. To learn more about Xceva's vitamin therapies, visit Xceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up? Hello.
Oh. All right. Do me a favor. Get the schedules out for the remaining playoff teams. The Phillies fight.
For the fightings?
Yeah.
Phillies have a tough one.
I know. I want the schedule. Can you print them all out for me?
Yeah.
I can look at it because the Giants. Giants, by the way, have a decent little lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Yastrzemski is a hell of a
player. Dickerson's a nice player, too.
Yeah, they
got 1-2 Dickerson. And listen, I know Longoria's old, you know, and Crawford's old, short and third. But
their pitching staff is
and Belt, yeah,
pretty terrible after Cueto. I hate Johnny Cueto.
I can't stand it.
People think it's so cool what he does. I can't stand it.
As a
traditionalist, it's awful. But their bullpen's pretty damn terrible too. As a traditionalist.
Because you're the oldest.
Yeah.
20.
Dude, I'm like, come on, you can't pause your windup and then shimmy your body.
Come on, dude. What do you mean, come on, dude?
It bothers me because it's effective. Because it works. That's why it bothers me. Yeah, just go out there and pitch, damn it.
He's got flair, man.
Screw your flair.
I like flair.
Gabe probably loves his flair.
Gabe.
If he beats the
Phillies. If they lose the game, what?
People projected the Giants to be like the worst team in baseball this year.
Well, they're not a bad. Listen, you're right about their pitching staff, but their offense is not a bad lineup.
No, it's not. And think about it. They've been playing.
The catcher Bart is pretty good young player.
They've been playing in the Western, you know, the West Coast teams, right?
So right. Dodgers, Padres, like great teams.
Oh, man.
It's terrible.
Don't do this to me.
It's terrible. And here's the
thing.
Let's
open it up in chat.
Here's the thing. Normally, I wouldn't be upset. Like, I would be like, whatever. It's the Phillies, right? Because here's the thing about the Phillies. As much as I love the death. But, you know, there's a reason why this town became 24/7 Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And that reason was the Phillies. Because other than that lucky blip in 93. They were horrible for season after season after season after season. And then they hit the low point at the end of the vet days.
Yep.
They built the stadium, was great. And it takes, you know, that one moment where they all are all together. Right? They were all together. That one moment. And that was great. But it was a blip. Like, that was the blip. The 08 crowd, everybody involved, the Uglies, yeah. Howards, J-Rolls, Charlies, Rubens. That was all the anomaly. And
now we're back to Phillies baseball.
Right. And that's why everybody was like, when's training camp start? When's training? And normally we wouldn't even be thinking about them. But every time I turn my attention to the Eagles, I get afraid. I am.
That's not good either.
Dude, I'm afraid about Sunday. People think, it's the Rams. You're not that good. You like the matchup of Aaron Donald against that line?
No.
Lane Johnson. He's inside.
No. I would have two backs back there every play.
Now,
both blocking.
And I'm curious, you know, how this is all going to work. Because if we put a poll up, Doug v. McVay, Doug wins in a landslide.
Yes. But that poll we had up the other day was pretty damning.
Now, is that our hearts talking?
Yeah, I think so, part of it, yeah. Now, history shows that Doug's, what, 3-0 against McVay?
Right.
And I'm sure some people would bring that to the table.
I remember 2-0, right?
Carson
game and then Falls game.
2-0 then. Undefeated.
Okay.
Sean Peterson.
Yeah, you don't like McVay, which is fine.
I think he's just slightly overrated. I think he does have a good offensive mind. I just think he's slightly overrated.
Listen, guys are overrated. I agree.
Yeah.
But I think the guy's smart, X and O man.
It's just they're rated.
I think one guy,
Belichick.
I think if I'm going to compare the two, one guy's an X and O guy. And the other guy's a people guy.
Yeah.
Right? And the other guy's strength is his people. Doug's strength is leadership, you know, being a general type of thing, leader of men.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, my point is, as I look that way, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
They started out 0-2, and after the Bengals, you got that 3-game stretch.
Yep.
I mean, this thing could get away from us early.
Yeah, that's
like, terrifying. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Sunday is a must win.
You're not wrong.
Right or wrong, right? Think about it. Sunday, if you lose,
you're 0-2.
0-2. You beat the Bengals 1-2. Then you got San Fran, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, whatever order that is. I just know San Fran's first.
Yeah. Pretty tough.
Now, at best, you're 1-2. I'm sorry. You're 1-2. So now you're going to start off 2-4? That's not good.
We'll just need that late season magic again.
Exactly. I'm tired of pulling rabbits out of your keister. You know what I mean? Can we just have a nice...
Can we just have a 14-2 season?
Not even. Like, give me a nice...
10-6.
Right, but, you know, 5-3 and 5-3. All right?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I still remember that Dolphins game last year.
Yeah.
I was at that freaking game.
Yes, you were.
All right? That last year shouldn't have been as hard as it was. And here's my other question with the Eagles. I don't mean to be, you know, a little negative today, but I'm also going to be. If the Cowboys don't choke, absolutely choke the last 2 years, because that coach is horrible. If they don't coach Garrett, what are we saying about Doug? Because then it would be 2 years without making the playoffs. Let's face it. The Cowboys should have won a division both years. Oh, they did with the wild card. They kind of snuck into the wild card, remember?
Yes.
All that stuff happened?
Yes.
So if the Cowboys win the division last year and they don't sneak in the year before that, what happens? Because they snuck in the last 2 years.
Yeah, we'd be having a different conversation.
On the last Sunday of the season. That's the ultimate point. All right. So much to talk about.
We do have the Klentak poll for you later on, unless you want it now. Because you're not wrong in wanting to play the card.
Really?
The majority is ready to play the card.
Are they right? I mean, hey, we got to talk about it. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jay.
Yeah, what's going on, y'all?
Jay.
Yo, quick Sixers question. They not really interested in D'Antoni, are they?
Yes.
Is a smoke screen.
No.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen to me. I don't think it's as bad as you think it is.
Man, that dude, man.
What about that dude? Do you know Mike D'Antoni?
No, I mean, I know him in 7 seconds and all that stuff, but it's all predicated on what? Nash and a point guard that can do something.
Well, here's the thing. You got to believe that he's got a plan, right? And then he comes in, if he's going to woo Elton, right? Because this is Elton's decision now. This isn't all the Colangelo leftovers, everybody getting it. Now, this is Elton and ownership. We'll get together on this pick of the coach. He's got to come in. The first thing that Elton's going to say is, all right, well, what's your strategy? What's your plan? See, I want an X and O guy, and that guy's a smart guy.
I'd rather have Lou or...
Well, see, here's the thing about Lou. What? I don't know his X and O. Well, all I know is LeBron. I'm not saying he's not, but I haven't seen much out of him that tells me he is an X and O guy.
Well, they said that's what Kevin Love said, so we'll see.
I don't know what that means, but whatever.
Yeah, but hey, look, I've seen him do it with point guards and scoring guards, and I just don't see how he's going to mix with Ben and Joe.
Yeah, listen, my only point is he comes in with a plan. And there's a guy that's been around. I want a guy that's a strategist. I want a guy that's an X and O guy.
Well, he could be an X and O assistant. I don't see him as no head back. But then we'll get to the Phillies real quick.
Yeah, man.
Now, I know hindsight is 2020, but I know everybody was saying catchers was bad, but everybody running around saying Rio Muto is the best catcher in baseball. I mean, it was a dearth of catches in the baseball. Like, they weren't that good. And this guy gave him six, though. How long did we hold on to him? Said nobody could have him. And, like, the biggest thing, I mean, Alfaro would throw people out. He was still learning. He was young. So you gave him two young pieces for a guy that's 30 and you didn't sign?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why we're, and that's why we're upset. I mean, again, I love JT, and I think JT, and I would sign JT. And I think JT's got, you know, a good four seasons left.
I don't think he was worth those two players.
Well, forget about Alfaro. There's a million Alfaros. But you're right about Sanchez.
And Sanchez is a million and one.
I agree with you. That's why we're talking about it. That's why I said that Klentak's done nothing right.
Hey, like Randall said, let me be me, and Jimmy Lino said, is Charles be a Charles? That's just the Phillies being the Phillies, man.
You're right.
They're right.
They'll never win anything, man.
If it wasn't for Jimmy and Ryan Howard, man, I mean, we'd have been going back to Ozzie Virgil and all of them, man.
Yeah, man.
I
hear you. I hear you.
It's crazy, and I'm voting for Doug over Boy Wonder anyway.
Now, let me ask you a question, because it's an interesting premise. Why?
Because McVay, he overrated all years. And Chip Kelly, yeah, nice Chip Kelly. Or what they said, Chip Kelly was rude to everybody. That's all McVay do. Smile up in everybody's face. That's why he lost the Super Bowl.
I don't think you paid enough attention to the Rams, which is fine. You're an Eagles fan, so I don't.
Oh, they all names. They all names. That's what they've been doing.
Nah, dude, it's different.
Hey.
It's different. Listen, you can vote for Doug and be right. If I'm just going to point out Doug v. McVay, I'm not going to chastise you for vote for Doug, because you can argue that Doug is a better, is a guy that guys want to play for. But I don't know how you watch game plans and look at the game plans and go, Doug's better than McVay when it comes to game plans and play calling. I mean, Junis, I know you don't like him, but I mean, even you, as someone that studies the game.
Yeah, I really thought that his game plan against the Cowboys was pretty good, at least to start. I mean, eventually the Cowboys got to him defensively, and they only scored, I think, 6 points in the second half. But to start the game, they did a lot of things that we wished we saw Doug Peterson and the Eagles do, right? Not just misdirection, but rolling out of the pocket. I mean, I saw Goff rolling out of the pocket, and that's with a good Rams offensive line. The Eagles have a terrible offensive line, and they gave no protection to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz didn't play well. Right,
but the idea of calling the play. But listen, even Joel said it, and Joel, and you know, Joel loves Doug. We all love Doug.
Yes,
but he flubbed that game. The play calling wasn't that. There's ways to negate a million ways to negate pressure.
Yes,
that he didn't do.
Nah, he just 7 step right, drops. Well, like that was you know, lack of a better term, moronic.
Yeah.
7 step drops when your quarterback had already been sacked 7 times, but you're still doing it for him to get sacked 8 times.
Right. So, but there's a million other ways to attack that team. And forget about decisions, fourth down, game managing decisions. You know, I'm not telling you that McVay's some great coach. I'm just think that if I'm going to size them up, I think they're about even, but they're different in the categories, right? Like the category of, you know, the mind, the X and O mind, I give to McVay. I don't even think it's close. And I give Doug because I think Doug keeps a team together. That's an important piece of it.
That's why you win the last 4 weeks. You know, last season when
now part of
after
it is,
you lose to the Dolphins.
I still don't think, now we talk about it, I don't think Doug's a horrible X and O guy. I think sometimes his feel's off because I think he's buried in his chart, his play calling chart. I've never been in love with the offense. I'm not a big 12 personnel guy. But, you know, it helped you win for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, sometimes he run, like, I don't know, the flea flicker in the NFC Championship game. Like, that was a well-called play because it worked. But then again, you were up, like, 3 scores. So you had the ability to do that because it wasn't like a go-ahead touchdown, that flea flicker. Sometimes he calls a good play. But you're right when we go, has he called a game? Like, has there been a game where you go, wow, that was so like well coached. Just,
again, and again, you know, it's all about players, right?
Right.
It really is. It's about players. And he's been hamstrung. See, here's one thing in that I have to argue for Doug, is that the grouping, the receivers that he's had, been pretty terrible. So that kind of forces you into going a lot of 12 and 13 personnel.
Yeah, I mean, especially last year, right? Especially last year.
So, you know.
I thought we'd see less of it last week, but obviously there's load management for Deshaun.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. Does Deshaun play 75% of the snaps?
Listen, you can't.
I know.
Have
you can't.
Load management in the NFL.
No, you can't.
Either the guy plays or doesn't play. It just kills you. It does. You got to go next man up type of thing. You're playing. I mean, the only thing I would do is, like, say, with Sanders. I don't think he's a 25-carry-a-game guy. So I would, but still, I'm giving him 18.
Yeah, and then you're giving him touches catching the ball.
Yeah.
All right, we see him do all kinds of stuff. We've seen him line up in the slot and do well.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Stanton. Now, Stanton, before we start, you got to promise me. Stanton, promise me something.
Stanton. Yes, I will. Let me take your speaker.
All right, but here's the thing. I
know. No, I know. I know. I said 10 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers.
All right, party. I'm here.
And you're out. Let me tell you, you're out. You're right. You're out on the Phillies.
So you say you root against them?
Root against them. Root against them. And go with the overs.
Go with the overs. No, but you're telling me you're right now root against the Phillies not to make the playoffs. See, I'm having a tough time with it, Stanton. Even though I know it's for the best that Klentak is gone.
Announcers in my day, and the worst teams, and the greatest allergens like you know, to break everything down, but still the worst teams. We always lose. Boston always wins. It's the old thing.
Yeah, but that's got to stop. I can't take it anymore, Stanton. It's got to end.
Now, what are you going to do? New York and Boston kicked our ass for how many years?
And by the way, we got Girardi from the Yankees. And I'm not telling you I don't love Girardi, but I was expecting more from Joe.
Yeah, but the cigar man's still pulling the strings. No, by the way, he's a great cigar man because we painted his cigar shops about 30 years ago. Gave us all shirts. Was real nice to us.
He's a great guy. Listen, it's not his fault. He's spending money. I don't blame Middleton. I mean, the only thing I think with Middleton is he's got to make a decision now, and he's got to find a new GM, new president. But I don't think Middleton's the problem. Middleton wants to win. I like his attitude. Andrew?
So I'll have them ready for you next segment.
All right.
I saw the Cardinals schedule the remainder of the season.
All right. A lot of Pirates in there?
A lot of Pirates, a lot of Royals, and a lot of Brewers.
Oh, my God.
That's a big uh-oh there.
Oh, man. All right, well, I'm curious. 610-632-0975. I ask you guys, because I'm at a crossroads with the Phillies. After last night and watching Ektor yet again, watching that bullpen yet again, should I wave the white flag and root against them? That's the break glass moment. Greater good, root against them. Hey, let me tell you about, speaking of cleaning up things, let me tell you about Shaper's Supply. That's right. I always tell you about Eric Shaper and his company, Shaper's Supply. School districts in Philadelphia, surrounding counties, they've been relying on shapersupply.com for their cleaning and janitorial needs since the 60s. All right. I mean, it's amazing. Now we're back to school, dropping the kids off, you know, temperature checks, whole thing. It's great. Everybody's taking a precaution. Now, here's the thing. We got to make sure that cleaning day is powered by Shapers, because Shapers is uniquely positioned to keep our students and teachers safe. All right. Our cherished schools clean. Many schools are sending kids back in shifts. Wednesday is the disinfectant day, right? That midweek cleaning, the whole thing. Well, that can be made easier with the help of Shapers' wide-ranging supply of electrostatic sprayers and foggers. You're a superintendent, director of janitorial, custodial purchasing. Visit shapersupply.com now. Find the sprayers for your school. Visit shapersupply.com. Keep it safe with Shapers, S-C-H-A-P-E-R-S, supply.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.